I said. He didn't respond. After a beat, I added, now that's a song I haven't heard in a while. Another beat. Great song, though, I concluded. It was the kind of babbling one does when they are in the first stages of a nervous crush. Oh, God, do I have a nervous crush on this guy, I thought. My perception of people in the White House has been shaped 100% by Aaron Sorkin. The West Wing and the American president were to blame for my feelings for this stranger. The idealism and adorability of Rob Lowe and Bradley Whitford had made me long for a civic-minded beau who was constantly making long, important speeches and taking principled stands. As a person who has to be enticed to vote by a sticker that says, I voted, I'm drawn to people who have strong convictions, and not just about who's the best Shark Tank shark. Here was Will, focused and quiet, probably full of eloquent monologues I just hadn't heard yet. This, by the way, is the anatomy of a Mindy Kaling crush. Just bear a passing resemblance to a fictional romantic trope I like, and I will love you forever. We're all just trying to find the Mark Darcy of our workplace, aren't we? After babbling amiably with a silent Will, I followed him to an empty ballroom where he told me to have a seat. I noticed, with horror, that my phone was dead and, in a desperate tone used only by a woman begging for their child's life, asked Will if he had a charger. How would I get a picture with the president with a dead phone? Will politely said no and left. I waited there, alone, for 45 minutes, growing increasingly nervous. Just when I thought I might sneak out to a bodega and buy a disposable camera, Will came back to check on me. He gave me a bottle of water and thanked me for being so patient. He also pulled a phone charger out of his pocket and handed it to me like contraband. I was so excited I gave him a hug. Will, I had no idea that would make you so happy. Me. It's just that I was in the middle of a really important game of Candy Crush. Will chuckled. A chuckle? He doesn't hate me. And that's historically all the encouragement I need. I saw my opening. Me. You're really helpful and nice. I bet you're like class president. Will. Actually, I was. All 4 years of high school. Me. This is cool. I'm meeting a lot of presidents today. As Will was trying to get a handle on my B-plus flirting, he got word that I would meet the president. That was a moment when I realized how cool my life is. I was trying to hit on a guy and was being interrupted by the president of the United States. We walked down a hallway, and President Obama emerged from a massive ballroom with Sarah, the woman who had arranged our meeting. The president shook my hand and said, I hear you like romantic comedies, like my wife. I almost fainted. We spoke about movies and storytelling, and then he asked about my parents. I'm one of those people who is infatuated by her parents, so it was thrilling to talk about my mother with him and see him listen intently while I described their journey to this country. But mostly, I just beamed at him and let him talk because I knew this would be a story that I tell my grandchildren. Who cares what I said? I forget some of the details of what we talked about, but I will never forget the feeling of being in his presence. The official White House photographer took a photo of the two of us, so I didn't need a disposable camera after all. And Will escorted me back to the lobby of the Waldorf. We rode the elevator in happy silence. I could tell he liked you, Will said. I deflected this comment, which is my habit upon receiving any kind of compliment. Will interrupted me and touched my arm. No, stop, he did. There are times when I feel especially lucky that I have dark skin, because you can't see me blush. This was one of those times. After Will walked me back to the lobby, I thanked him for the experience and told him to email me anytime for anything. He smiled, and not a tight-lipped one either. He said he would, and I believed him. Recon. June. The single best thing about working in a writer's room is that you can disrupt the entire writing process to discuss and investigate your latest crush. My staff on the Mindy Project is comprised of 9 people in their 20s and 30s who have traded the prime of their adulthood for writing jokes in a show about a woman who believes recycling makes America look poor. And as their leader, I have learned one thing. Their hard work must be rewarded with soul-replenishing gossip. The hardest part of investigating a crush online was that I had deleted my Facebook account 5 years earlier when I had smartly realized that Facebook would mean an end to all my productivity or ever putting on pants. Why go out when I could see pictures from my ex-boyfriend's ex-girlfriend's family trip to Napa? So, I did what any reasonable person would do. I made all the other writers log into their Facebook accounts to see if they could find Will. We quickly found him, but saw that his account was set to private. We were outraged. "Who the hell does this guy think he is, Harry Connick Jr.?" we shouted. And then, like Katniss volunteering to be tribute for her useless sister Prim, one brave writer, Tracy Wigfield, said she would request Will's friendship on Facebook, so we could learn more about him while protecting my identity. I was moved beyond words, which might provide you a glimpse of how truly shallow I am. Showrunner Matt Warburton asked, "Won't he just look at where she works and figure out pretty easily that she's friends with you?" "Shut up, Matt," I barked. "I don't need no logic, I have a crush." Of course, Will didn't accept Tracy's friend request because he had no idea who she was. And then, a month after I met him, out of the blue, Will emailed me. He said the president had enjoyed spending time with me and asked for an address to send a photo of us. I replied a day later to show that I was busy, which I was, but not busy enough to not reply immediately. And this kicked off an exchange that lasted more than a year. Over email, I learned that Will traveled everywhere with the president. I also learned that he was very funny in a dry way. I have the opposite of a dry sense of humor, so I'm always impressed by it. My sense of humor is wet and loud and risque, like topless day at the water park. I also have a terrible habit of impulsively sending text messages that reveal my true feelings and frighten people off, such as, "I like you so much it scares me." So Jeremy Bronson, one of my closest friends, proofread my communication with Will. Jeremy has been doing that as long as I have been friends with him, so much so that if you ever text with me, there is a 70% chance you are actually texting with Jeremy. Will and I developed a steady texting relationship, but he was always off solving problems for the president. He was one of the few guys I've met who is busier than I am. It was at once frustrating and totally sexy. One day I confessed that I'd had Tracy request his Facebook friendship. This charmed him, and the next day, Tracy raced into the writer's room, excitedly announcing that Will had accepted her friend request. This unlocked a treasure trove of Will-related tidbits, like what city he was born in, that he loved The Daily Show and hiking, and had gone to the University of Pennsylvania. Even though it was fairly generic and painted a picture of several hundreds of guys we knew, it felt like the most exciting day of my life. The State Dinner. February. Over the next 6 months, I discovered another benefit of my new friendship with Will. I began to receive invitations to incredible events in Washington, D.C. I was invited to the White House holiday party, a luncheon for Asian American artists, I was excited to technically qualify as one, and the White House Easter egg roll to read stories to children, excited to be considered a person who doesn't scare children. I could never attend anything because I was filming my show, but I paraded my invitations around the set so people could touch the fancy stationery. Then one magical day, 9 months after our meeting at the Waldorf, I got an email from the White House saying, in gorgeous presidential cursive, "The President of the United States invites you to a state dinner honoring François Hollande, the President of France." It was a save the date for a state dinner. I scrolled to the very unsexy second page, which instructed me, at my earliest convenience, to please provide this long list of incredibly personal information, including my social security number, federal tax identification number, driver's license, and a place of birth. It occurred to me that this might be the smartest identity theft scam ever. But even if it was, I didn't care, because what a glamorous scam, like the Hollywood Film Awards. The best part was that Will offered to give me a tour of the White House. I remember bursting into the writer's room and telling everyone. They were excited about the state dinner, but their interest in Will had waned. Like with any good story, they needed a plot twist. Executive producer Charlie Grandy shrugged and said, "Please sleep with him or something before you come back. This story needs to move forward." I nodded, understanding that I had a lot to do in D.C. My trip got off to a rocky start. My flight was delayed, and I missed Will's private tour of the White House. How was I going to have a sexy trip if I couldn't even show up for things? My guest to dinner was my best friend Jocelyn, who had taken a train down from New York. We forewent seeing any D.C. museums or national monuments to order cheeseburgers and watch Will and Grace in bed at our hotel, because we are real best friends, not lame fake friends trying to impress each other with how fascinated we are with culture and learning. I'd hired a hair and makeup team to get us ready. They regularly did hair and makeup for a very famous African-American actress, whom I'm dying to tell you about, but I can't. How about this? If you ever run into me on the street, I will tell you. The whole time we were getting ready, I was trying to get dirt on this actress, but they revealed nothing, which drove me crazy, because celebrity secrets are more valuable than diamonds. The only thing I was able to sneak out of them was that this actress used Preparation H on her face as a primer before makeup. I love this so much that I insisted they do the same on me. As you are ushered to the receiving line to meet the President and First Lady, they announce you, My Fair Lady style. The Honorable So-and-so and his wife Madeline. Just before our turn, the aide asked me how I would describe Jocelyn's and my relationship, and of course, I prattled on about our backstory as if he was a therapist, not knowing he wanted a succinct answer. So our formal announcement was literally, Miss Mindy Kaling and her best friend from Dartmouth College, Miss Jocelyn Lovett. I didn't have time to feel too embarrassed, though, because all of a sudden we were talking to the Obamas. Here's the part of the story where I feel really cool. Instead of shaking my hand, as he was doing with everyone else in the receiving line, the President of the United States heard my name, lit up, and hugged me. He then said to his wife, This is Mindy. Malia was reading her book in Hawaii. My book. Malia Obama was reading my book. The one Amazon.com reviewer, quote, my two cents, called sort of meh. I was walking on air. And then I saw Will. Will stood next to and slightly behind the First Lady, dutiful and handsome in his dark suit. I was still beaming from my interaction with the Obamas, so when I saw him, I called out Will and pulled him into a tight hug. From the way he reacted, I got the distinct feeling that you are not supposed to embrace the man standing to the right of the First Lady, but I didn't care. He looked great, he smelled great, and I looked great, and smelled like my hotel's tiny complimentary body lotion. So I impulsively topped the hug with a kiss on the cheek. I'm so sorry I missed the tour, I said very loudly, surprised how important it was to me that he know. Me too, he answered, making such textbook good eye contact that the hairs on my arm stood up. For a moment, we said nothing, just two wordless idiots smiling at each other, with the most important people in the world standing a foot away. The First Lady, now on to greeting people next in line, glanced over at us with a curious look on her face. I realized it was time to leave, so I uttered my classic Mindy Kaling party line. Well, this was cool, and Jocelyn thankfully pulled me away. I wonder if it was the First Lady who told Will he had lipstick on his cheek. Jocelyn and I were shuttled by trolley to the dinner, the equivalent of the most beautiful tented wedding you have ever seen, set up in the shadow of the White House. Stephen Colbert and his wife were seated in front of us in the shuttle. I tried to work up the courage to say hello to him, but I was too nervous, so I just gazed at the back of his head. I was so close I could have stroked it lovingly. Should I have done it? It's a close call. I should mention that Stephen was not only seated at the president's table for dinner, but was actually sitting on the other side of the First Lady herself. A year later, when I was a guest on the Colbert Report, I brought this up with Stephen shyly backstage. He informed me that before that dinner, he didn't even know them. So the president and First Lady just wanted to sit next to Stephen Colbert because, well, he's Stephen fucking Colbert. Way to be, guy. The state dinner looked and felt as luxe and fancy as an SNL parody of a state dinner. It's nuts. If you think about it, it is one of the only government-sponsored events where the decor and food are supposed to be so extravagant that the invited foreign head of state goes home and says, Guys, you will not believe how they do dinners in America. The salads were served in delicate glass horticulture bowls. The butter was molded into a shape of a tiny intricate bow. It was not one of my usual Hollywood events, like Gal Style Weekly's Hot Gaze Under 30 Awards. This was historic. This was the kind of place a girl could leave her glass slipper with the reasonable hope that a prince might track her down. Or in my case, my Jimmy Choo size 39s with orthotic inserts. We got drunk. The kind of drunk where you're eating off the dessert plate of someone very high up at the NSA, and you're not even worried that they're going to wiretap your email later. I saw John Kerry talking to Bradley Cooper. I'm from Massachusetts, and I'm friends with Ed Helms, so I figured I had hit the conversational jackpot with these two. I was drunk and feeling a little important, so I wandered over and interrupted them. Hi, I'm Mindy Kaling. I'm from Massachusetts. Ed Helms was in The Hangover, and he was also on my old show, The Office, I said cockily. By this time next year, John Bradley and I would be sipping hot cocoa in Teresa Hines' Idaho ski chalet. So we have that in common. Yes, Bradley responded. I know, Ed. I would give our interaction a solid B-. I sat back down next to Jocelyn, and Mary J. Blige began her performance. My drunken bravery streak continued, and I texted Will. Where are you? Mary J. Blige is singing. Elena Kagan looks hot as hell. How are you missing this? He responded sweetly that he wished he was there and hoped I was having fun. Having fun? What the fuck? Is he my aunt? Hours later, back at our hotel, Jocelyn and I dissected every detail of his texts. Had I been imagining that he was into me? Was my fondness for him completely one-sided? I felt foolish, like when I was 11 years old and wrote to Christian Slater's agent telling him how much I loved him. And would he let me be his intern/girlfriend when I went to high school in 3 years? I never got a response. I got texts from the writers asking what happened. We're engaged, I wrote back. Then quickly, no, we're not. That was a sad joke. Nothing happened to go back to work. The White House Correspondents' Dinner. April. A few months later, The New Yorker invited me to be a guest at their table at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I didn't bother telling Will I was going because, well, I had done that before. We were just friendly platonic acquaintances, like me and Chelsea Handler. But Will found out and texted me. He asked if he could finally take me on that tour of the White House in the West Wing. I said yes. It's funny when you decide that you don't like someone. I'm the kind of person who, if my feelings are unrequited, can completely detach from someone emotionally, if I simply put my mind to it. That's why I'm always saying I would make a great serial murderer. That's what I did with Will. It was like flipping a light switch. He was no longer a Washington, D.C. crush on whom I had pinned my whimsical hopes and dreams. He was a pleasant and civic-minded tour guide from Tennessee. He didn't seem as tall to me anymore. His accent was more unsophisticated than adorable. I could look at him and go, meh. The tour was lovely, and to be honest, I was happy I was actually paying attention to it rather than to Will. The Oval Office, the Navy Mess Hall, those are all historic places that deserve not to be sullied by romantic motives. As I was leaving, he told me to text him after the dinner. I said I would, but I knew I wouldn't. Light switch. Attending the correspondence dinner as a guest of The New Yorker was a dream realized, especially since none of the editors touched any of the roles in our artisanal breadbasket, which meant that I could have at him. While I chewed in my 11 brioche rolls, I saw the likes of General David Petraeus, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, and that guy from Magic Mike, who also played a hot werewolf and was supposed to have a huge wang. It was an extremely glamorous night. Just before 2 a.m., I got a text from Will asking if I wanted to, quote, meet him for a drink. We all know what 2 a.m. drinks mean. If I'm texting Chelsea Handler at 2 a.m., friendly acquaintance is going right out the window. I didn't respond and left for L.A. that morning. My weird new male friend. May. Will came to L.A. in the spring for a week and wanted to see me. I no longer considered him a romantic option, but he was a well-connected D.C. person who could maybe make it so I didn't have to pay my taxes. We ended up meeting at a bar that my writers frequent, and we ran into Jeremy and Matt, who joined us for a drink. That was such a great coincidence, because until that moment, I think they thought it was plausible I had made Will up. After that bar, Will and I headed to another bar. It was fun, but it didn't exactly feel like a date, and that was okay. But then something happened, and it suddenly did feel like a date, in a big way. We slipped into a cab to meet some of his friends at a dive bar across town. When the cab pulled away from the curb, he turned to me and said, "Put your seatbelt on." "What? We're in the back seat," I replied. I never wear a seatbelt in the back seat. I barely like doing it when I'm driving because it presses on my boobs funny. Instead of responding, Will slowly reached over, his face mere inches from mine, and pulled my seatbelt across me, his fingers grazing my body, and buckled it, completely serious. "It's not safe," he whispered. I could feel his warm breath on my face. I wanted him to kiss me so badly. At the next bar, I think I met his friends. I might have talked to them. I don't really remember. All I thought about was him saying, "It's not safe," as he put my seatbelt on for me. Then he dropped me off in a cab and we said goodbye in the car. No kiss, just a hug. A heartfelt hug coming from a straight man who has spent the evening drinking with you is like him buying a billboard in Times Square that says, I am not attracted to you. I walked into my house, got into bed with all my clothes on, and cried. At work the next day, people were excited. Jeremy and Matt say Will exists, they said, wanting to know the details of our night together. He's not interested. I think I just have a weird new male friend, I announced to them, explaining my night. They booed. And at that moment, I got a text. It was Will, on Air Force One, about to take off back to Washington. I should have kissed you. That's on me. I stared at my phone so angry I almost threw it across the room. This guy was driving me insane. What did I do to deserve this? I was just a friendly 34-year-old TV actress looking for a boyfriend who didn't have a neck tattoo. Okay, fine. At this point, he could even have a couple Grateful Dead bears marching across his neck and I would deal with it. But what I didn't need was some hot and cold long-distance flake wasting my time. It hurt my feelings and it made me feel like there was something wrong with me. I deleted all of our texts and emails and didn't respond further to any communication from him. Then, more than a month later, on my birthday, a package arrived for me from Washington. It was a present from Will, a large box filled with treats he had selected especially for me. There was a comedy book by the comedian Don Novello, whom we had talked about on one of our dates, a huge box of chocolate-covered fruit from his favorite chocolatier in Seattle, amazing photos of the president, the first lady, and me, and a handwritten note on White House stationery describing why he selected all the gifts and wishing me happy birthday. It was one of the more romantic gifts I've ever gotten. My writing staff ate the chocolates in puzzled silence, none of us knowing what to make of this gesture. My assistant, Sonia, broke the silence by saying, I think this is what they call mixed signals. Sonia was right. This was 100% authentic, real mixed fucking signals. Back for more. July, where the story started. Will, now renamed Trouble Don't Pick Up, in my phone, came to LA with the president and asked me to dinner. I listened to his message, but I didn't return his call. But then I kept thinking about him. Well, maybe I could go, I thought, gazing at Trouble Don't Pick Up, missed call. And then it became, maybe I should go. Why was I even entertaining this? I don't know why exactly. Maybe because, well, in spite of everything, I was still intrigued by Will. I'm not proud of it, and it's a little embarrassing to say, but sometimes you like the idea of someone so much, you just want to do whatever it takes to make it work. And Will was so much better than the other guys I'd been on dates with. He was smart and accomplished. He wasn't competitive with me. Most important, he was genuine, and his job was honorable. I didn't know a lot of people whose job I would describe as honorable. And well, I liked being around someone like that. And it's worth reminding you that Will was a handsome blonde man. And how often do you see an actual adult blonde man these days? He was basically a priceless orchid. So yeah, maybe I wanted to give him 5 or 6 more chances than the average guy I might date. So, against my better judgment, I called Trouble Don't Pick Up and said, sure. It had been 2 months since I had last seen Will. I told myself I wouldn't sleep with him and expected that to be easy. Why shouldn't it? The last time I saw him, he had hugged me like my mailwoman Rita does when I give her her Christmas bonus. As it turned out, he was a little bit more attracted to me than Rita was. Shake it off. So, yeah, Will spent the night. The next morning, when he was leaving, he was so shy and adorable in my foyer that when he left and I closed the door, I covered my mouth with my hand to muffle my crushed out squeal. Ah, you are so cute. You are so fucking cute. You are so cute. I was so into him. Sonia brought me a McDonald's Extra Value Meal #1, the meal she rewards me with after a late night of writing, or extremely rarely, a late night of passion. I was already concocting Will's and my happy ending, and the way only a woman whose job it is to write romantic comedies can. We'd probably get engaged in a year, he'd become a senator, and I'd move to Washington, giving up my career to be a full-time political trophy wife. I'd learn the chronological order of the presidents and get really smart about the news. Just that slightly crazy, embarrassing stuff you think about the night after you first sleep with someone. But, as you probably guess, since I am not currently the wife of a senator, it didn't work out that way. Will and I continued to text and email, and would try to see each other, but it never seemed to crystallize into anything more. Whenever he would visit LA with the president, I was shooting the show. Whenever I would invite him to a party I was throwing, he was traveling. It felt to me like I was making more of an effort than he was, and when I sensed that, I pulled back, not returning his calls or texts because I felt hurt. But none of that mattered because I knew the truth, which is that if someone really wants to see you, they always find a way. Always. That hurt my heart, but I realized, unlike in past relationships when I was younger, it didn't need to be dramatic. Will and I didn't know each other that well. I couldn't even remember if he had any siblings or what month his birthday was. I knew I had the power to make this a big deal if I wanted to, but the truth is, I wasn't in my 20s anymore, in a good way. Obviously, there's a part of all of us who wants to pull a full-on Courtney Love about every breakup. It's so dramatic and makes you feel like, see, you'll remember me one way or the other, damn it. But spending a lot of time and energy nursing a breakup is just not a good use of my time anymore. Which is too bad, because if you heard my haunting rendition of Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow while I wept in the shower during a breakup, you would be moved as hell. Sometimes a story just needs an ending, and I used to not be a creative enough person to think of an ending to a romantic story that isn't a wedding or a death. This story didn't end in fireworks, because the truth is, fireworks are something from my 20s. I could have made fireworks, but I chose to make a nuanced memory of a person who was neither a hero nor a villain in my life. All I had to do now was move on. In the words of both Mariah Carey and Taylor Swift, I knew I could shake it off. How could it not be true if both songs have the same name? A perfectly reasonable request. What I am asking for is not that much. I just want a boyfriend who is sweet and trustworthy. That's it. He doesn't need to have a perfect body or look like George Clooney. I want a guy who wants to curl up on a Friday night and watch Netflix. He can even pick the show. I mean, ideally, it's serialized and female-driven, and maybe not that boring political one, but honestly, I don't care. It's not important. All I want is someone reasonable who is basically a good guy. Someone patient, who doesn't mind if I'm taking a few extra minutes getting ready before we leave the house. But who is impatient about the same things that I am, like when we are waiting too long to be seated for dinner, and he should maybe go talk to the hostess? Because otherwise, why did we make a reservation at all? I want a guy who is a feminist. Someone who knows that all that means is that men and women are equal. A man who admires strong women like Hillary Clinton or Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but not that really accomplished woman from his office who seems cool and put together. I don't mean her. I'd like him to resent her irrationally, actually. I mean older, strong women in the theoretical. And I don't need some uber-rich hedge funder either. He just needs to be successful enough to financially support himself. And me and our children, if I take time off from work after the babies are born. I just want him to love his job. I don't care about how much money he makes. Just as long as it pays enough to give me the option to go back to work part-time if I decide to pursue my hobby professionally, which is photographing cool manicures for Instagram. I'm not even one of those women who doesn't want their boyfriends to watch porn. I think it's hot. As long as I'm watching it with him and there's some kind of entry point for women, like 50 Shades of Grey or Magic Mike. One thing I definitely don't need is lavish gifts. I'm not some princess living in a fairy tale. A simple compliment once in a while is enough to show he appreciates me. You look pretty today. I love your laugh. You're such a good cook, even better than my mother and my sisters. I love you more than my mother and my sisters. See, it's so easy. I don't get why that's asking so much. To meet a nice guy at a bar who wants to date for 6 months and then propose to me while we are in Montana glamping. On a night that is perfectly clear. And then move out of his apartment, give up his dog to his coworker, and buy a four-bedroom house in the town where I was raised, near that elementary school that everyone's raving about. That's why I think I should date an older guy. They say older guys are more secure and have gotten all that immaturity out of their systems. That would be so refreshing right now, to be with a man who isn't obsessed with youth and doesn't want to stay out late smoking weed with his loser friends. And I don't care if he has kids, I think that's cool. So as long as his kids are already away at college and his wife is dead, I'm in. And she needs to be normal dead, where she won't come back to haunt me as a ghost. because that's all I want. A sweet, mature, normal, loving guy with no baggage, and who has an absolutely enormous penis. A perfect courtship in my alternate life. If I had stayed in New York and had a non-Hollywood job, I'm certain I would have become a Latin teacher at a private school in Manhattan. I took Latin from 7th grade through college, and I always loved it and was pretty good at it. There weren't a lot of us who took Latin in high school, but our small group felt very cool. Every winter, the Latin club celebrated Saturnalia, an ancient Roman festival in honor of the deity Saturn. We wore togas, which were bedsheets unenthusiastically supplied to us by our mothers, and wreaths made out of pipe cleaners, and had a feast of whole roast chickens and carbonated grape juice, which we ate with our hands, like the Romans did. We toasted each other by saying, "Yo, Saturnalia," and pretended to be drunk emperors in the teacher's multipurpose room. You know, just the typical stuff you do when you are really cool in high school. When I moved to New York after college, I pictured myself teaching Latin at the Dalton School, where Jocelyn worked as a geography teacher. Dalton is on the Upper East Side and felt very glamorous and Gossip Girl to me, so I was always coming up with reasons to visit her there. It's a little strange to be in an environment where you are 23 and you know that the high school students around you are better dressed, more sophisticated, and have had way more sexual experiences than you have. They could tell, too, I bet, because I was so intimidated I barely made eye contact with any of them. But I'm the kind of person who actually likes feeling a little bit out of place. Aspirational is how I feel comfortable. The dream of teaching Latin disappeared, of course, when I moved to Los Angeles to work in show business. But I always wondered, in the sliding doors version of my life, about this other, imaginary version of me living in New York, teaching at a prep school and trying to make friends. Over the years, as the real me grew older in LA, Mindy in New York stayed 25. She began to resemble me less and less and became a character all her own. I started describing fun and theatrical personality traits to her. She partied too much and dated guys in ways that blew up in her face spectacularly, but she still desperately wanted to find love. She was so fun to write that other characters sprung up in her universe. Mindy always fought with one male teacher in particular, a serious-minded 40-year-old U.S. history teacher. I will have a stern man in anything I ever write. I just love a gruff guy with a heart of gold. I guess what I'm saying is Walter Matthau is the man of my dreams. I thought I would share some of her adventures with you. It's kind of a choose-your-own-adventure or Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken, depending on how fancy you are. Enjoy. Monday. Email from Mindy Kaling. To all faculty. Subject: a back-to-school soiree, Shay Mindy. Date: Monday, September 5th, 2005. Hello, Dalton friends. Welcome back to another school year. I hope you're all as rested and excited as I am to tackle this new semester. As some of you may know, I was lucky enough to travel to Rome by myself this summer. Traveling by oneself poses its unique challenges, but I think I learned a lot, and I even brushed up on my Latin. You can read about it on my blog, www.aromeofonesown.com. If you do, please let me know what you think by leaving a comment. I thought it could be fun to have you all over to my new place for drinks. As some of you may know, I no longer live in Gramercy with Ethan. I live in Astoria now. Astoria is a bustling neighborhood with a vibrant culture and, according to a few blogs, Queens is the new Brooklyn. The great part is I have a lot more space, and not just because I don't have to share it with my ex-boyfriend, haha. But you can decide for yourself. Party info. This Saturday, September 10th, at Shea Mindy, 3619 Ditmars Boulevard, apartment 6A, Astoria. 9 p.m. to, who knows? Dress code, upscale autumn. Anyway, please RSVP if you can make it. I'm really looking forward to seeing you. Love, Mindy. Mindy Kaling, Latin teacher, high school, the Dalton School. 108 East 89th Street, New York, New York. 10128. 212-555-1445 is my work number. 617-453-8688 is my cell. Tumblr, aromeofonesown.tumblr.com. AIM handle, LatinLover1979. You can also catch me on Facebook. Email signature. Since you've been gone, I can breathe for the first time. Kelly Clarkson. Email from Sam Cook to all faculty. Subject regarding a back-to-school soiree chez Mindy. Date, Monday, September 5th, 2005. Dear colleagues, I am actually glad that Ms. Kaling wrote because it's the beginning of the school year and we have an opportunity to set a precedent. These email accounts were given to us for work-related emails only, and I would like to keep my inbox clear of irrelevant emails not necessary to education. SC. Sam Cook, U.S. History, High School. Chair, History Department, The Dalton School. 108 East 89th Street, New York, New York, 10128. Email from Mindy Kaling to all faculty. Subject, regarding a back-to-school soiree chez Mindy. Date, Monday, September 5th, 2005. Hello, everyone. It has recently been brought to my attention that I may have offended some of you by inviting you to a party on my work email. I am so sorry to have filled your inbox with, quote, irrelevant emails not necessary to education, end quote. It should be noted, however, certain studies have shown that teachers getting along socially actually benefit students, so forgive me if I'm trying to do something progressive here. I didn't know this was East Germany in the 1950s where we're not supposed to talk. I'm sure that environment is much worse for the students, but I don't have a study to corroborate that. For those who do want to come, please RSVP. Sorry again if I offended, although I would be really surprised if I did. Mindy Kaling. Email signature. Since you've been gone, I can breathe for the first time. Kelly Clarkson. Email from Sam Cook to all faculty. Subject, regarding a back-to-school soiree chez Mindy. Date, Monday, September 5th, 2005. Great, thanks. SC. Tuesday. Email from Mindy Kaling to all faculty. Subject, hurtful but work-related matter. Date, Tuesday, September 6th, 2005. To all. You don't have to come to my party, and I get it if you think that I suck and Astoria is lame, but you don't have to talk loudly about it in the teacher's lounge, where a teacher could walk by on her break and hear what you are saying, which is exactly what happened to me this afternoon. I know that my party may not be what you want to do on a Saturday night, and yeah, maybe it was a mistake to buy a pinata, but I thought it might be a fun way to blow off steam. The truth is, my apartment is new and empty, and it would be nice to have it filled with voices. But you know what? No one has to come. Forget it. Party's canceled. Sorry to have wasted all your time. Mindy Kaling. Email signature. Since you've been gone, I can breathe for the first time. Kelly Clarkson. Email from Sam Cook to Mindy Kaling. Subject, regarding hurtful but work-related matter. Date, Tuesday, September 6, 2005. Ms. Kaling, I want to apologize. I was one of the people you overheard talking in the lounge earlier today. I think your party sounds very silly, but I shouldn't have said anything. Please don't cancel it. And as it happens, I do think pinatas are fun. My daughter Molly really enjoys them, and at her last birthday party, I even took a whack. I think it will go over well. SC. Email from Mindy Kaling to Sam Cook. Subject, regarding hurtful but work-related matter. Date, Tuesday, September 6, 2005. Dear Sam, thanks for apologizing, kind of. I do appreciate it, because from someone as disagreeable as you, it must have taken a lot to send that. I forgive you, and I won't cancel the party. You are re-invited. Though it might not have been apparent in the first email, it's kind of a singles event, so you should come. You and I have that in common, at least. Ethan dumped me, and your wife left you. So join us if you're not doing anything. Sincerely, Mindy. Email signature. Since you've been gone, I can breathe for the first time. Kelly Clarkson. Email from Sam Cook to Mindy Kaling. Subject, regarding hurtful but work-related matter. Date, Tuesday, September 6, 2005. Ms. Kaling, thank you for your touching email. I should just clear something up. My wife didn't leave me. She died. Though I am wondering about my behavior in general if you think that the former is more likely. I don't think I will be able to come to the party. From Mindy Kaling to Sam Cook. Subject, regarding hurtful but work-related matter. Date, Tuesday, September 6, 2005. Oh my God, I am so sorry that I assumed your wife left you. Sincerely, Mindy. P.S. I am also so, so sorry that she is dead. Email signature. Since you've been gone, I can breathe for the first time. Kelly Clarkson. Wednesday. Email from Mindy Kaling to Lindsay Kellogg. Subject, hi. And a favor. Date, Wednesday, September 7th, 2005. Hey, Linz. I'm so excited that you're coming Saturday night. I know how busy you are at Goldman, so I'll make sure it's extra fun. I feel a little embarrassed asking this, but remember that guy Seth you work with? The one you said once looked at our Facebook album from college and said he'd never been with an Indian girl, but he'd like to someday? Maybe you could invite him to the party, if it's not weird. It would be really nice to meet some guys. XOXO. Email signature. Since you've been gone, I can breathe for the first time. Kelly Clarkson. From Lindsay Kellogg to Mindy Kaling. Subject, regarding, hi, and favor. Date, Wednesday, September 7th, 2005. Fuck yeah, I'm coming. This week's been a nightmare. I've been here like 18 hours a day. 2 days ago, a partner hung himself. Yikes. I need this. I'll tell Seth. Should I bring Coke? Linz. Lindsay Kellogg, Vice President, Private Wealth Advisor, Goldman Sachs & Company. 200 West Street, New York, New York. 10282. From Mindy Kaling to Lindsay Kellogg. Subject. Regarding, hi, and favor. Date, Wednesday, September 7th, 2005. Please do not bring cocaine. It's not going to be that kind of party. It's mostly high school language arts and history teachers. I got a piñata, which I've heard adults actually like. Promise me you won't bring cocaine? Email signature. Since you've been gone, I can breathe for the first time. Kelly Clarkson. From Lindsay Kellogg to Mindy Kaling. Subject, regarding, hi, and favor. Date, Wednesday, September 7th, 2005. Yeah, okay, I won't, quote, bring any coke with me, end quote, winky face. I will bring Seth. Thursday. Email from Mindy Kaling to Sam Cook. Subject, ugh. Date, Thursday, September 8th, 2005. Dear Sam, I hope you don't mind me writing, but I was passing by your office and heard Henry Guilford's parents yelling at you, even though the door was closed. I know it sounds like I was eavesdropping, but I swear I wasn't. I just wanted to say that, A, it sounded awful, B, Henry Guilford is a little shit, and C, they have yelled at me too. Henry wrote an essay sophomore year on Cicero that read like a Columbia undergrad's thesis presentation, which I'm almost certain it was. There's no way a kid whose YouTube channel is videos of him tripping bike messengers and filming it could have written that essay. Anyway, just because this school has a lot of rich kids, I don't think their parents should be able to just scream at us. And if it makes you feel any better, at assembly just last week, I heard some junior girls saying that you were the very best history teacher in the department. Wow, I guess I do eavesdrop a lot. Mindy. P.S. Should you reconsider coming to my party? I think you'll find it a really memorable evening. Plus, I'm really worried no one's going to come. Email signature. Ladies, leave your man at home. The club is full of ballas and the pockets full grown. Destiny's Child. Email from Sam Cook to Mindy Kaling. Subject, regarding, ugh. Date, Thursday, September 8th, 2005. Mindy. I'm sorry you heard that. In the middle of Carol Guilford screaming at me about my grading system, my mind began to wander. I took this teaching job all those years ago so I could spend the summers writing a novel, but I've written nothing. And yet I still have this job. You wouldn't want me at your party. I'm 15 years older than virtually everyone else attending. I also could not begin to understand what the dress code upscale autumn means. Thank you for your kind note, Sam. Email from Mindy Kaling to Sam Cook. Subject, regarding, ugh. Date, Thursday, September 8th, 2005. You're writing a novel? I've never even read a novel. I guess that's not true. I've read Bridget Jones' Diary in the sequel, but besides that, not much. I know, V, depressing. Ha. Don't worry about the dress code. I only did that for Madame Burkholz and the rest of the French department. You would think people who specialize in romance languages would dress better. I think you dress nicely, though I've never really thought about it. You look like a presidential candidate during the Depression. I better go finish burning CDs for the party. See ya, MK. Friday. Email from Mindy Kaling to Jim Dufaux. Subject, hello. Date, Friday, September 9th, 2005. Dear Big Jim, first, a compliment. The hallways have been looking so clean this year, and I see almost no gum jammed in the hinges of any lockers. The custodial staff has a very challenging job, and I commend you. Second, a short, funny story. I am so used to calling you Big Jim that I realized I didn't actually know your last name. Then I found out it was Dufaux, which is so beautiful. What is your ancestry? I was also wondering if I could borrow a couple of the plastic garbage bins if the janitorial department could spare them. I'd like to use them as drink coolers for a party I'm having this weekend, which you are of course invited to. And while I'm asking for things, maybe I could take a few rolls of paper towels. I think there are quite a few of them in the supply closet, and I doubt that anyone would miss them here at school. With utmost respect for what you do, Mindy Kaling. Email signature. Ladies leave your man at home, the club is full of balas and the pockets full grown. Destiny's Child. Email from Sam Cook to Susan Cook Velasquez. Subject, babysitting? Date, Friday, September 9th, 2005. Suze, by any chance are you free tomorrow night if I drop Molly off? She has homework and she says that at 10 she really doesn't need babysitting anymore. I know it's last minute, but a work thing came up. Your loving brother, Sam. Email from Mindy Kaling to Madeline Resnick Klein. Subject, hello. Date, Friday, September 9th, 2005. Dear Madeline, I cannot begin to tell you how upset I am that I was 20 minutes late to our scheduled meeting this afternoon to discuss the National Latin Exam. A headmistress shouldn't have to deal with extreme tardiness from teachers in addition to your many other responsibilities. I'll be honest, a younger version of me would have lied and told you it was because I had subway trouble. But if I've learned anything from my recent breakup, it's that I only have room for truth in my life. And if I expect it from my lovers, I must be honest with people in my professional life like you. The truth is, I did not have subway trouble. I was at the European Wax Center on 63rd Street getting waxed for a party tomorrow. And I passed out when they were waxing a sensitive area. When I came to, I realized I was late, raced over to our meeting, and thus we find ourselves in our present situation. Actually, this is a good opportunity to encourage you to attend my party. Please come. Very sorry, Mindy Kaling. Email signature. Ladies leave your man at home, the club is full of balas and the pockets full grown. Destiny's Child. Email from Madeline Resnick Klein to Mindy Kaling. Subject regarding hello. Date, Friday, September 9th, 2005. Miss Kaling, your excuse is inappropriate, your email is inappropriate, please never be late again, and change your email signature. I will not be attending your party. Madeline. Madeline Resnick Klein, PhD, Headmistress, The Dalton School, 108 East 89th Street, New York, New York, 10128. Email from Susan Cook Velasquez to Sam Cook. Subject, regarding babysitting? Date, Friday, September 9th, 2005. Sure I can take malls. I'm intrigued about this, quote, Saturday night work event. I think it sounds like a really good thing for you, professionally. Winky face. Can I ask more about it? XO. Email from Lindsay Kellogg to Mindy Kaling. Subject, yo. Date, Friday, September 9th, 2005. Hey, if I'm gonna bring Seth to this party, there better be some single guys there. And not any Teach for America bullshit. Someone legit cute. Dude, I need to have sex. Lindsay Kellogg. Email from Mindy Kaling to Sam Cook. Subject, Cupid. Date, Friday, September 9th, 2005. Dear Sam, I know you said you're not coming to the party, but my college friend Lindsay is coming, and I promised her there would be some single guys for her. She's really cute, I swear. And not in that way where only girls think it, like that time last year when I insisted that Frida Kahlo was hotter than Britney Spears. Love, Mindy. Email signature, no more drama, no more drama. Mary J. Blige. Email from Sam Cook to Susan Cook Velasquez. Subject, regarding babysitting. Date, Friday, September 9th, 2005. Actually, Suze, I think I'm not going to go, so I don't need you to babysit. Thanks. Saturday. Email from Mindy Kaling to Sam Cook. Subject, hi. Date, Saturday, September 10th, 2005 at 8:20 a.m. Hi, Sam. I know you're probably out enjoying your weekend with your daughter, but I hadn't heard from you, and I thought I would write anyway. You can ignore it if you want. The truth is, I am having a pretty tough time right now. When Ethan broke up with me, I felt like I'd been pushed off a cliff. It sounds crazy, even to me, because now looking back at our relationship, I don't understand what was so great about it. But I guess I'm the kind of person who likes to be part of something so much that I won't care if the something is bad. Then I went to Rome this summer by myself, on the trip we had planned together, thinking it would be like under the Tuscan sun, but it wasn't. I ate dinner every night alone at a restaurant where the reservation was made for two. I felt guilty that I was there alone, so I bought two entrees and ended up spending an enormous amount of money on food. Also, I got mugged the second day, which is why I'm wearing the same sweater in almost every picture on aromaofonesown.tumblr.com. Now there's a chance I might like a guy. I don't know him, but if there is even a remote possibility he thinks I'm attractive, I feel like I need to take that chance. Unfortunately, he's coming with my friend Lindsay, and the only way she'll come is if there are cute single guys there. If you could stop by tonight, it would mean so much to me. I will do anything for you, even stop sending you long personal emails from this account. Love, Mindy. Email signature, no more drama, no more drama. Mary J. Blige. Email from Sam Cook to Mindy Kaling. Subject, regarding hi. Date, Saturday, September 10th, 2005. I'll see you tonight. Email from Sam Cook to Susan Cook Velasquez. Subject, regarding, babysitting. Date, Saturday, September 10th, 2005. Hey, remember how I said I wasn't going to go to that work thing? I'm going to go. I will drop Malls off at 8 if that's okay. We'll tell you about it later. XO. Email from Mindy Kaling to Sam Cook. Subject, regarding, hi. Date, Saturday, September 10th, 2005. Oh my God, thank you. You are so great. I'll never say U.S. history is easy again just because it's only like 2 centuries old. And I'll never let anyone say anything mean about you, ever. Like when people say you drink all the coffee and you never throw out the grounds. Sam, thank you. Email signature, no more drama, no more drama. Mary J. Blige. Email from Mindy Kaling to all faculty. Subject, event reminder. A back-to-school soiree, Shay Mindy. Date, Saturday, September 10th, 2005. Hello, everyone. Tonight's the night. Just a friendly reminder. Please allow 90 to 100 minutes to arrive from Manhattan if you're coming by subway. You can take the Q train until the last stop at Ditmars Boulevard. Once you get out, you're on my street. I am 19 blocks west on the right side of the street. I am sorry to say that because I live on the 6th floor and because it is a walk-up, the party is not wheelchair accessible. I have written my landlord about this matter, but unfortunately it won't be resolved by tonight. If you want to bring alcohol, that would be great. Can't wait to see you there. Love, Mindy. P.S. If you cannot attend the party for whatever reason, please let me know via email or phone so we can plan accordingly and we are not waiting for a person who isn't going to come. Email signature. Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me, pussycat dolls. Text message, 10:23 p.m. Mindy. Hey, Linz. ETA on you and Seth? I'm saving the mac and cheese balls for when you guys arrive. And believe me, people have been asking about them. 10:45 p.m. Text message from Mindy. Sam is here, by the way. He looks pretty good. Better than I thought, actually. You'll be happy. Text message 11:12 p.m. Mindy. I had to serve the mac and cheese balls. There's still a lot of booze left, and I made blondies. The ones you like with no nuts. Really hope you're coming. Text message 11:40 p.m. Mindy. Linz? Text message 11:45 p.m. Lindsay. Hey, girl. Text message 11:45 p.m. Mindy. Are you on your way? Lindsay. I'm so bummed. Still working. Seth took off with some of the guys to go someplace in the Lower East Side where Ryan Reynolds is partial owner. It was on Vulture, I think. So bummed. I don't even have Coke, so totally the worst. Haha. Text message 1146, Mindy. Dot, dot, dot. Text message 1147, Mindy. Oh, I get it. I hope you finish work soon. Thanks for texting. I think I'm gonna drink a lot tonight. I miss Ethan. 4 hours later. Facebook status update. Mindy Kaling, can't believe someone would steal a pinata from a party. Is this New York City or Newark? Seriously. 2:15 a.m. 2:18 a.m. Mindy Kaling had no idea that so many of her friends were from Newark. She apologizes. She's having a really bad night and like 11 drinks, okay? 2:20 a.m. Mindy Kaling isn't sure why she bothers to throw a party anyway. Why even? No one even gives a damn about her. 2:21 a.m. Mindy Kaling is going to start cleaning up this party. Why are people still here? Get your coats and go. 2:30 a.m. Mindy Kaling, seriously, who took my fucking pinata? 25 minutes later. Email from Sam Cook to Mindy Kaling. No subject. Date, Sunday, September 11th, 2005 at 2:55 a.m. I'm sorry I just kissed you. Email from Sam Cook to Mindy Kaling. No subject. Date, Sunday, September 11th, 2005 at 3:01 a.m. It's just that when I saw how upset you were that your friend's friend didn't show up and that you, a grown woman, had pinned all your hopes on a stranger, it struck me as so silly and stupid. I mean, silly and stupid of me for being so happy about it. And then I just felt like I needed to kiss you, so I did that, and then I left because you looked horrified. I should also note, I was and continue to be extremely, extremely drunk. Please write back, Sam. Text message 3:14 a.m. Sam. Hey, it's Sam. I hope this is your number, and you get these texts. I have never texted before. I just want to clarify, when I said I was drunk, it doesn't mean that kissing you was a mistake. The opposite. Unless you thought it was a mistake. I know I will regret sending these in the morning. Sunday. Email from Mindy Kaling to Jim Dufaux. Subject, hello. Date, Sunday, September 11th, 2005, 11:13 a.m. Dear Big Jim, I don't know how to tell you this, but I just woke up, and while cleaning out my utterly trashed apartment, I noticed the unthinkable. 2 of the 3 trash cans you lent me are missing, presumably stolen. You are not the only person who has suffered a loss. My piñata was also stolen, and yes, after it was stuffed with candy. It never occurred to me that someone would do something like this in my own home. Although, a lot of strange things happened last night, so perhaps it's just par for the course. First, a close friend didn't show up with a potential guy I might like. Then, while I was reeling from that disappointment, and picking up plastic cups from on top of my toilet tank cover. Honestly, who leaves plastic cups in the bathroom of someone's home? A man kissed me out of nowhere. It was pretty confusing because a week ago, this man was someone I might have blocked on Facebook, if he was the type of person who had Facebook, which he isn't. Suffice it to say, I have a lot to think about, and I'll reimburse you for the trash cans. And please don't tell Headmistress Resnick Klein. She has a PhD in being an old crone. Yours truly, Mindy. P.S. Please, don't repeat that old crone comment to anyone. Email signature. Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me, pussycat dolls. Email draft. From Sam Cook. To Madeline Resnick Klein. No subject. Date. Sunday, September 11th, 2005 at 2:37 p.m. Dear Madeline, I am writing to offer my resignation. The reason being that I have done something to make another teacher feel uncomfortable, and I think it best that I... Email draft from Mindy Kaling to Sam Cook. Subject regarding no subject. Date, Sunday, September 11th at 6:37 p.m. I can't believe you kissed me. And it was such a good kiss. Like, really good. Like, where did you learn to kiss like that? You're so old. I can't even picture you kissing a woman. Only because you are so unpleasant most of the... Text message, 7:02 p.m., Mindy. Hey. It's Mindy. I was writing you an email, but then I stopped. I'm upset. Text message, Sam, 7:03 p.m. I am so sorry. Mindy, I'm upset